Isabel.
And I'm Hope, and you're listening to Far Beyond,
the podcast where we delve into enigmatic stories from the past. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello, all, and welcome.
Welcome. Today I'm going to be hosting today's episode, and we have a very exciting nautical mystery. So we're heading to the sea.
Nautical?
Nautical?
As yes, in like mermaids? Nautical.
No.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Maybe. You never know.
Okay.
Today we're going to be talking about the ghost ship Mary Celeste.
Okay, we're going to have one of these things where like I was going to do that. So I did I watched a YouTube video on Mary Celeste because I was going to do like an Atlantis style episode, and then that led me to the Mary Celeste. So I know a little bit, but I am applauding your choice right now. I am definitely applauding your choice.
Hope and I are on such the same wavelength for so many of the episodes.
It's insane. It's insane.
There is going to be one day where we have brought the same topic.
Yeah.
And then we'll just do a joint.
We need to have a safety check. You know what I mean? We need to some third person, this is what I'm doing, and they can let us know if we're overlapping.
Yeah, that's
because
good.
We oftentimes we dance around the same subject, but then the last thing that we choose is like not super, you know, it's like not super the same.
It ends up being different. Yeah, we're always so close.
Exactly. So anywho, tell me about this magical thing.
The Mary Celeste was an American merchant brigantine, and it was discovered adrift and deserted in the Atlantic Ocean off of the Azores Island on December 4th, 1872. It was discovered by the Canadian brigantine De Gracia, which spotted her. Captain David Morehouse was taken aback. He was the captain of the De Gracia. To discover that the unguided vessel was the Mary Celeste, which had left New York City 8 days before him and should have arrived in Genoa, Italy by now. So him and his crew changed course to offer help. When they arrived at the ship, it appeared disgruntled. The crewman's belongings were still in the quarter, and the ship was still seaworthy. One of its two pumps had been disassembled, and there were 3.5 water in the bottom of the hold. But the cargo, 1,701 barrels of alcohol, were still intact, as well as 6 months of food and water, but not a soul to consume it.
What?
So, along with the crew, the only thing missing was one of the ship's lifeboats. So the crew of the De Gracia then sailed the ship, so you know it was very seaworthy.
Yes.
Back to Gibraltar, where a British Vice Admiralty Court convened a salvage hearing. So a salvage hearing is basically when a crew salvages a ship, and then they go to this hearing to see if they're entitled to...
take the stuff that they found.
To take the money, basically, that this other crew would have been paid.
Because this ship is just basically pristine in the middle of the ocean, filled with
pristine,
thousands of dollars.
Everything's intact. It's definitely seaworthy. Like, the crew of the De Gracia sailed the Mary Celeste all the way to Gibraltar. So it's really, really weird. So
did they get the money?
Like, the investigation began, and then the salvage committee, I don't know what it's called really, they started an investigation, because obviously this was super weird case, and so theory kind of one, which there was an investigation conducted into the crew of the De Gracia, is, did they do something to this crew? Like, was this all up to board? Eventually, they did receive a payment, but only 1/6 of the $46,000 for which the ship and its cargo had been insured, suggesting that the authorities were maybe not entirely convinced of the De Gracia crew's innocence.
Oh, so they thought that, like, the people who found it maybe, like, killed the people who, like, originally were manning it, and then they just
took it to get the money.
But, But why would they go through the courts if they just took it? Like, if they pirated that ship, they could have just taken everything and then not reported it. If that makes sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a weird one. Huh. I guess just for the insurance. Maybe
unless
it was more.
They're lawful pirates, you know?
Maybe. Yeah. It was lawful. Yeah, so more about the Mary Celeste. The ship began its, fateful voyage November 7th, 1872. Okay. It was sailing with 7 crewmen and Captain Benjamin Spooner Brigg, his wife, Sarah, and the couple's 2-year-old daughter, Sophia. The 282-ton brigantine battled heavy weather for 2 weeks to reach the Azores, where the ship's log's last entry was recorded at 5 a.m. on November 25th. So, this the whole thing is just super mysterious, right?
There's but we have a ship. We have a journal, though.
So we have a ship's log, which they've looked at, but it doesn't really give a lot of indications into what kind of happened. So there's a few different theories. This became such a notorious nautical mystery, and part of the reason was Arthur Conan Doyle published a short story which was a very sensationalized account of the Mary Celeste.
So it was called into a tabloid, basically,
and then the theories kind of went out of control. Otherwise, it probably would have been forgotten in history. So he published J. Habakkuk Jephson's Statement, that was the name of the story, in 1884. And it was printed in Cornhill Magazine. And that set off waves, just theorizing about the ship's fate. The story is pretty weird. It's basically that a slave gets really angry and murders the whole crew. Which, like, that seems
and
a
then,
bit...
But that doesn't explain the bodies, or, like, lack thereof.
No, it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, that's pretty weird, Arthur Conan Doyle, to just publish. Seems a bit, like...
It's like a Stephen King thing, where it's lightly inspired by true events.
Yeah, and maybe, like, a little bit, like, racially motivated, too.
Yeah,
I don't know.
True. Like, yeah, let's rack up the racism and schizophrenia by 500%. Exactly. We got our story.
That's what happened to the Mary Celeste. So, theory two is that, so they were carrying, I don't know what the word is, grade alcohol. But basically, it would give off natural gas. And there would be, small explosions that could be, not crazy small explosions, but just noises and pops.
Just, in the air. That sounds really smart. Why would you have to put why would you put that in the cargo? It must have just been a necessity that they had to transport. So they were like, we're gonna put these explosive crates of alcohol in the base.
It'll be
fine,
you guys.
But I don't know. I feel like they wouldn't have done that if it was that dangerous. Because why would you ever leave the ship?
No, it wouldn't be. But the theory is that maybe because of the way they left and because they just took one lifeboat, the theory is maybe that there was a bigger explosion. Mm. They get scared. They decide to temporarily vacate the ship because it has the riggings with the ropes where you could technically be brought back up. So maybe the crew and the captain temporarily left the boat expecting to be able to get back on the Mary Celeste once they realized that it was fine. Something broke in the riggings and they couldn't get back.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So we have theory one.
I did something similar to that one time. False alarm. Where you jump on a lifeboat and then you're like, oh no, I wasn't actually thing to do, but now I'm stranded. Yeah. I understand that.
That happened to you when you're
It didn't happen to me on a boat. It happened to me on a train. And whenever I go to Europe, I don't have a cell phone because I just don't pay for the whatever Verizon does. So yeah, I'm just I'll just use Wi-Fi. I don't really need maps. I don't need to contact people. That's part of the fun. It's like I'm an old-fashioned traveler. And last summer I was like on a train and my phone was dead and I just needed to get to this little town in Denmark and I was leaving Copenhagen. And I had like been on that train before, but there was one stop. Yeah. And for some reason I was sitting drawing, not paying attention to the stops, and the train stops and I'm like, ooh, I gotta get off. Good thing I like noticed a train stop. So I get off and the train leaves and I look around me and I'm like, where am I? This is the wrong stop. And it's also like late at night too. So it was like one of the last trains. Oh, and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm stranded somewhere and my phone's dead. Yeah, you jump ship. And I was just like, okay.
I remember us in Barcelona too, that one day.
With the roller skate game?
Hope and I went on a... No, the day that we got to Barcelona, it was like 3 in the morning. Oh, that was horrible. And we didn't have any cellular data. We couldn't figure out where to go. We were just like going on different buses and eventually found our way to our
Airbnb at 4 in the morning. 3 in the morning. And it was horrible too, because it was just like there are a lot of things that we learned on that trip, but that Airbnb was not ideal. It was a shared sort of situation, which we had had.
So Hope and I were in. Yeah, we had great experiences.
Yeah, because normally you get to meet people and stuff. But this was just a little bit like, these people were definitely, I don't know, partiers would be the right word, I'd say. You know what I mean?
It was really weird. Hope and I would just run to our little room.
The door. There were weird vibes in that trip. So, always have a phone and never jump ship, I think is the moral lesson.
Ship. Too early, yes, right?
Exactly. Okay. Sorry, I derailed you.
No, that was a good derail. It was relating it was to real pertinent. Life.
Yeah.
Examples. So we know that theory is very plausible now. Theory 3 is that there was some sort of natural phenomenon that occurred that made the crew abandon their ship.
Oh.
So something like a waterspout, which I don't know if you've seen pictures, but is this like crazy natural occurrence where the water from the ocean is just literally going up.
So like a tornado thing, but in water? Okay.
Yeah, kind of like a tornado or even an earthquake of some sort. Something that could scare them enough that they needed to
they might have been like just freaked out. And so they're like, let's leave. Yeah, ship. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then there's like, some crazy theories that I just kind of lumped together. One of them that was written about was that the crew. I just really love including
dude, there's these no such things
thing. In my stories that I'm like.
There's no that such is thing insane. As a dumb Who theory thought this could or be? A dumb question.
Yeah, this is my favorite. The crew left the boat to go to a temporary swimming platform where they were having a swimming contest.
Wait, in the middle of the ocean, they found a.
They had one already.
Oh, and for then, fun.
For fun, and then the swimming platform broke and sunk, and they all died.
All 7 of the men. Yeah, sounds about right.
And the 2-year-olds were having a swimming contest. Aww. Yeah. I don't know who wrote that, but I was like, wow. Including that, one of the crazy myths is the murderous slave, theories of some sort of sea creature.
Has anybody brought forth the idea of sirens, perhaps, luring them off, like singing a song?
No, but I was thinking about that as well. Like, what's going to make a crew abandon their ship?
Yeah, like everybody with no sign of war, no sign of damage, no dead bodies, everything's mm-hmm. in place. It sounds like a siren attack to me, because if it was a kraken, it would have totally torn up the mast. It would have definitely broken wood. The ship wouldn't have been there, honestly, if a full-grown kraken attacked it. Kraken.
Yeah, true. There would have been a lot more damage.
So I think we can cross that mythological creature off the list.
Sirens seem pretty plausible, though, actually.
Okay, I'll put that one down as well. All right, so sirens. Are those all of the theories? Oh,
no.
My God.
So the last theory is there's a documentarian called Anna McGregor. And in, I think it was like 2014, I could have that wrong, she decided to look into the Mary Celeste again using modern nautical technology and weather charting things, and looked at the captain's log, and she determined that the most plausible theory was this, that the captain at some point, because of the weather that they were facing going to the Azores, mistook where they were, and having not seen land in a while, thought they were further out and maybe like lost at sea. That there was a mistake in charting, basically. And then when he first spotted land close to where the De Gracia crew found the Mary Celeste, though she estimates that it probably drifted for quite a ways, he decided to abandon ship and go to land.
Oh, okay. But some random island or like someplace where they couldn't make contact and get their ship back. Mm-hmm. And maybe they died.
Because considering as well that they were meant to be in New York, or not in New York, should have arrived in Genoa 8 days before they were found, means that they were probably lost and having not, and the captain being like...
Well, he didn't give up hope, but he was just confused.
Yeah, it's basically like he was just lost and thought that, considering they hadn't like reached certain checkpoints, that they were lost and it was probably best to just go
that
to land.
That sounds...
But it's still kind of strange that nothing was found of these like...
Because maybe they like were intending to come back right away, but it seems like they would have left one person at least to watch over the ship.
But it's also like, okay, if you're abandoning ship for land, surely... But maybe that wasn't a thing. Maybe they didn't like comb the coast in the 1800s for this crew. But surely you would have like found a lifeboat. You would have found at least some
corpses. I have a question. So like that ship was a cargo ship, right? So everything was logged. Like the values were logged. And they were supposed to deliver stuff. Interesting. But they found no trace of these people. None of them. Like, they never found any of them. Because I'm like, I feel like like they might have just left it and then claimed the insurance money. But it's like, if they never came to claim the insurance money, then it's like,
that's
not insurance
fraud. I think weird is that none of them were ever,
unless they tried to be the crew, unless they like were part of the crew that like, quote unquote, found the ship and knew them.
They just,
and they were like, collect this and we'll give you a percentage of the insurance money.
Of the thing.
Do you think that's what it...
Well,
I don't know.
Maybe. Don't know. They didn't get very much of it then, if they were in, like, cahoots.
Well...
Because they only ended up getting the crew of the De Gracia after the salvage hearing. They only received one.
And then, like, the government got the rest? Because the government was, like, suspicious. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because they weren't... The authorities weren't entirely convinced.
Something a little bit
fishy.
Okay, fishiness. Oh, goodness.
Which I guess makes sense, because I'm like, okay, a seaworthy ship, completely abandoned.
Guys, what is the answer to this? Is it insurance fraud? Is it, like, sirens? Did they freak out because...
Yeah, so the theories I guess we have, sirens... The De Gracia crew, they got spooked by petroleum gas explosions.
Yeah.
And couldn't get back on the ship.
Okay.
Some sort of an extreme natural phenomenon, a swimming platform.
The swimming platform is just too good to be true.
Sirens, or that...
they mistook land.
They were off course, and he decided to abandon ship at the first sight of land.
Okay.
What do you think,
Okay,
Hope?
So I have two personalities. There's like a cynical, clinical side of me that's like, it was insurance fraud. Mm-hmm. Like these people thought that they could somehow collect extra money by disappearing and the whole crew was like in on it or something. Like that's a cynical adult in me. But like the realist in me wants to say it was the sirens, because that's kind of the only thing that makes sense. So I'm going to go with the siren theory.
Yeah. I agree with the siren theory.
Because
I think that makes the most sense, considering everyone just went
missing.
You know
what they say, right?
And they would totally get in a lifeboat, you know, to go down to those sirens.
And oh, just be 100%. Like, and that's something too, where it's like the siren song can affect everybody. Like, males, females, children. Nobody would want to stay on board, so that definitely makes sense. And, you know, we always talk about witches on this podcast, and sirens are basically the witches of the sea. They're sea
basically
witches.
Basically the witches of the sea. That's what everyone
says. So, you know, like, we're... kind of propagating this theory that, like, usually mischief is caused by some sort of magic or witchery. And I think that that would kind of, mm-hmm. you know, this podcast episode being about sea witches would definitely help, you know, build and prop up our idea that we've been running this entire podcast.
Which is just witches. Hope I really try and build awareness for...
Yeah, we're trying to bring awareness to our kind.
For witches? Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of representation.
In modern culture.
In modern culture, yeah. In media. So we're just trying to fill that void.
For sure. We just want to educate people with the facts, as we said.
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoyingly difficult. But for, like, our season one finale, episode 10, I feel like we should have a episode that's finale. Like unsolvable, because they would have figured it out by now.
It is kind of unsolvable because they haven't really figured out anything concrete. And the thing that baffles me too is, so, like, the documentarian Anna McGregor, she's saying that, okay, this is probably what it is, like, this is the most plausible theory, which, okay, makes sense, but also,
where did they go?
Surely you have 6 months worth of food and water.
Yeah.
You wouldn't try a little longer to see where you, like...
Well, the whole thing, though, too, is, like, let's say that they did jump ship, even though they had plenty of provisions. The weird thing is that they were never found, and not a single person stayed on board. It's pretty normal to keep somebody on the ship.
And that they didn't bring anything with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they probably... I don't... Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah.
All the crewmen's possessions were there. Like, everything was still in the cabin.
And this documentarian is like, she thinks that they were off course. She doesn't go with the insurance fraud thing. That's so interesting. Because I feel like the popular theory, like when I watched that one YouTube video, I'm highly researched, you guys. That one YouTube video said that it might have been insurance fraud, which is just so boring. And it's also like, but it didn't work. And that just seems like a lot to risk. To kind of maybe go through with insurance. Yeah.
And it's like, because you'd have to be getting more than what it would be to just deliver the ship, right?
Have you seen, because I'm thinking pirates, but I'm like, pirates would have definitely, like, looted the ship. Have you seen King Kong?
Yeah, that's kind of what they said.
Do you remember the creepy beginning where, like, the islanders, like, sneak up onto the ship and they, like, steal the girl and they use her for a sacrifice? Do you remember? It was so creepy.
I don't know if I
remember.
Oh
my
that.
God. You should rewatch King Kong, the Jack Black King Kong. I mean, he basically pulled that entire movie.
As he does.
Yeah, as he does. Jack Black's in it. So maybe there was, like, some weird island culture that found them or something, because they wouldn't have had any use for the alcohol or, like, the clothes or food. So they might have just been like, this stuff is weird, alien, we're not gonna take it, but we'll take captives or something. That's creepy, but, you know, maybe sirens, maybe cannibalistic islander people. I don't know.
So yeah. Weird.
But I'm...
Because also it's like the captain of the Captain Benjamin Spooner Briggs, which, what a captain's name, am I right?
Yeah, it's amazing.
He was an experienced captain. You'd think, like, a ship that seaworthy, like, you'd have to have a pretty
figured out.
Big reason to abandon it. Yeah.
Yes, that's why I'm like, I feel like maybe they were coerced by a force that doesn't value, like, monetary material goods. So I don't think it was, like, an official force or anything like that.
Like sirens.
Well, yeah, sirens or...
Or an island.
Yeah.
Mysterious island people.
Because what year was this? Was this the 1700s? 1800s?
This was 1872.
Okay. That's kind of modern, like, you know, like, relatively.
I know.
So strange, dude. Yeah, I'm baffled. If listeners have any idea, we would love to hear your insights. I'm going to stay anchored with sirens, even though, they're genuinely really peaceful. But sometimes, yeah, they might have just been hungry and lured all 10 of them.
They get hungry, yeah. All 10.
Is that how many there were? Because I forgot. There's 7 and then husband, wife.
Well, 7.
There's 10.
Yeah.
Wow, I totally guessed. That's awesome. Yeah, 10. Cool. Beautiful. In one lifeboat, too. That must have been a big lifeboat, assuming they used it. Wow. God. Okay, I'm going to go with sirens, darling. That's
my thing. Actually, I'm changing mine to swimming platform. That's my favorite. And
is there any evidence of a swimming platform? Like, why did... I've never heard of a ship using a swimming platform. Like, how would you even do that? Would you just, like...
I don't know. It's just so funny that that was, like, a published story, I think, you know, after Conan Doyle's publication and all the theories that followed. One of them was... a swimming
platform. I'm just picturing Waterworld right now. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're just so bored.
I'm picturing, like, did you ever watch, like, Porco Rosso?
No, what's that?
It's, like, a Studio Ghibli movie, but at one point, I feel like there's just, like, a wooden platform that people are swimming off of, and I just imagine that, but, like, all
yeah, the in the middle of the ocean, there. Too, where there's, like, sharks yeah. and other creepy things.
A giant boat behind them.
Oh, my God. Well, I started watching this show the other day, and I got, like, 30 minutes in, but it's really good, and it's just called Siren. It's on Hulu, and it's super creepy. It's worthwhile because in it, I think the government knows about sirens, and whenever, like, deep-sea fishermen find one, the government, like, tracks them down and, like, covers it up and stuff. And they're very, like, animalistic. Like, they kind of look like people, but they're still, like, dangerous and... Almost like somebody was, like, raised by wolves. It's, like, the sirens were, like, have shark-like mentality. So it's very creepy. It's very creepy, especially, like, the underwater scenes. So if you guys are into mermaids and stuff, you should definitely check out Siren for sure.
Check out Sirens. There you go.
Okay.
Well, wow. Yeah, what a fitting end to season one. A pretty big mystery. Let us know what you guys think.
And we'll be tuning in fairly soon with season two. We're going to have some awesome updates with that. But
some really cool episodes.
Yeah, it's been a trip thus far. Thanks for journeying along with us into the deep, unexplored forests of enigmatic mysteries. Adios, Isabel.
Thanks, guys.